Hey, what's going on, guys? This is the Pucks in the Net podcast.
We're your hosts, Blue on Blue Shirts and Flash Sports.
What's going on, guys?
Welcome back to episode 2 of Pucks in the Net podcast.
All right, so earlier today, Flash Sports did a survey, which y'all clearly voted that the breakdown of New York Rangers Carolina is what you wanted to hear about on this episode. So we're gonna tear into that, and obviously, listen, if our opinions are different than yours, then that's fine. But you know, we're just gonna dive into it and basically see how that goes. All right, so we're just going to dive into the overall team stats, offensive and defensive stats for each team. Just right away, New York Rangers' record is 37-28-5, which was 7th in the Metropolitan. Carolina being 38-25-5, which is 4th in the Metropolitan. I mean, in this divisional setup, home record doesn't really matter because of COVID. We're playing in Toronto. We're playing in a neutral stadium that – you know, it's going to be different for everybody. It's basically going to be away team. So the real stat that comes into play here is how each team played away from their home. Very similar. New York Rangers being 19-12-3, Carolina being 19-13-3. Each team was really good away from their home, and if they can carry that over into this, even with the long delay, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Do you agree?
No, I 100% agree. I mean, they're playing away. They both, honestly, they played decent away.
And each team isn't familiar with the rinks. Now, they're not familiar with
but you know, do Toronto and Edmonton have an advantage?
I think they have a slight advantage.
Because it's their arena. I'm not saying there's fans, but they definitely have some kind of advantage. They have to.
They definitely have a slight advantage. Just knowing the ins and outs of the arena, the sounds.
Yeah, it's their home. It's like, yeah, it's like going home.
Right, exactly. No, I agree there. That, you know, that's the one little falter, but we won't have to deal with that right now because the Rangers don't play those teams. So just, you know, getting into overall offensive stats here, right? In leading in league goals, New York Rangers land 5th while Carolina lands 11th. Now, the Rangers are just a very, very high power team. They score
offensively.
Offensively, yeah. Yes. I mean, they have.
We'll get to the defensively part.
There's many players with over 40 or 50 points right now in the Rangers. Not so many on Carolina. So just that stat alone is big for the Rangers. Next up, shots on goal. Rangers rank 20th in the league in shots on goal, while Carolina ranks a whopping 3rd. That's hard to look at right there.
They have a good defense. They really do.
Right, but this is the funny thing, though. Shooting percentage, right? Rangers rank 2nd in the league. Shooting percentage for Carolina, they rank 14th in the league, which is...
Ryan Strome's shooting percentage is like four times more than it's ever been.
Right, so... You know.
Not exactly, but it's close. It's been insane. Mm-hmm.
And then the last stat offensively that I want to look at is power play. Rangers rank 7th in the league with their power play, which, I mean, as we've seen, it's very dominant. You know what I mean?
This is one of the best power plays I've gotten to see for the Rangers, honestly, mm-hmm. in a long time.
It's there, and they even have a problem with having too many good offensive defensemen with D'Angelo, Trouba, Fox, and, I mean, you can even throw, I guess, Lindgren on there just because he likes to shoot the puck. But – who do you play on power play 1? Who do you play on power play 2? This is why many people believe, oh, D'Angelo should get traded, but that's not the case. I mean, you can't just say D'Angelo should get traded because you want to put Fox on the power play.
Your best offensive defensemen have to be probably Fox and D'Angelo, so I'd split them up. Do you like Fox, Lindgren, and then D'Angelo, Trouba?
Right, but honestly, on the power play, you normally go with 4 forwards, 1 defenseman.
Well, that's tough. Add volume, Lindgren's out. So, I mean, you do 3. Obviously, the top line, you got to – I think Panarin is playing the point on defense for a while. But Panarin, Fox, and then probably Trouba, D'Angelo in the second pair of the unit.
Right, but right now, currently, D'Angelo's on that top line and Fox is on that second line.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it works out. But
yeah, I agree. All right, so then – right after this, we're going to be talking about defense. And this is where it's not looking good for the Rangers. Goals allowed, Rangers are 23rd in the league. Carolina is 11th. Shots on goal, Rangers are 30th in the league. Carolina is 2nd. Penalty kill, which, I mean, the Rangers were not efficient with this throughout the season, but who knows, maybe this 4 to 5 month layoff could bode well for them to change that up and maybe bring it down. But being 23rd in the league with Carolina being 4th in a penalty kill is pretty tough to look at.
Okay, so 80% of our season, Brady Shea is playing defense. So you know what? Now he's on the other side. So I know a lot of these stats sound terrible. I'm not saying they're going to change, but now he's on the other side. So honestly, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He could be 30th in the league in anything. Be traded. I'm not saying, honestly, I hope Shea does well there, not against us. But he's obviously a liability for us for a while. So
and that
you got to see how we do without him at this point. We've only got a small sample of how we are without him. And it's been decent, honestly, without him.
And that rolls us into our next topic, which is notable trades, right? So Brady Shea traded from the Rangers to Carolina for a first-round pick. Would you like to dive into that,
Greg? Yeah, so we got a first-round pick. It was not the best contract. If you can get a first-round pick for a contract that's not that great, honestly.
I was shocked that we even got a first-round pick.
Trust me too,
Travis. No money retained. No money retained at all. Yeah.
That's what I mean. If you can get a first-round pick for a player like that, you know what? You have to take it. It's like I think it was the Penguins GM at the time 5 years ago. They asked him if there was anybody they would trade for Crosby. And he said it depends on the offer. There's an offer for anybody. If the offer is right, you make the trade. And honestly, Shea, maybe they were shopping him. I don't think so. I think the Carolina, they were like, listen, we'll give you a second. Rangers were like, you know what? We'll only take it first. And they said yes. And offer they couldn't refuse.
Right. I mean, we will never know the background details of that, but the Rangers definitely needed to make a little bit of room with the Kreider deal that ended up happening at the same exact time, and now they got to sign D'Angelo and Strome. So again going back into that Shea trade, right? So obviously, I mean, Shea had 8 goals and 16 assists in 67 games played, right? So going over to Carolina since being traded from the Rangers, I mean, he had 1 assist in 7 games.
Yeah. I mean, he's still learning a new system. You got to see how he adapts. Obviously, you never know how he's going to do. But the Rangers trading Shea was definitely a cat move. You could say a lot of people, and we didn't trade fast. We didn't trade Strome, D'Angelo. That was everybody's way of saying, hey, the Rangers are going for the cup. They're going for it. But at the same time, trading Shea was also a setback also because Shea was – obviously, longtime Ranger. He was a top 4 defenseman for them. So,
I agree.
You honestly, you don't know, but trading Shea was definitely a setback for the Rangers. Not that he's a top 2 defenseman, but it's definitely looking towards next year, towards signing other players like Strome, like D'Angelo, like Fass, like Georgiev, possibly. It's definitely a look towards next year, 100%.
It's a little annoying to see that, though, because Brady Shea is a player that, I mean, in his first and maybe half of his second year or a little bit of the second year, we were high on. We were like, okay.
Playing with McDonough a lot, too, though.
But we were like, this is going to be the next McDonough.
That's exactly why they traded McDonough also, though, because I think they thought he would make that next step.
Exactly. And
I think we all thought that.
And then just another one just to add into that, obviously Neil Pionk. You know what I mean? We thought that he was going to be something similar, and they obviously, you know, traded that away, and he's statistically 10 times better this year, which is nuts to see. But, I mean,
he's playing top 4 minutes in Winnipeg, not the greatest defensive structure at this point.
Right.
You know, from day one, I always loved Pionk. But you know what? We got him.
I did too, yeah.
We signed Pionk undrafted. Damon wasted 7th-round draft pick on him. We end up trading him for literally Winnipeg's first-round pick that we got for Hayes, which is also undrafted.
Mm-hmm. Jacob.
And, yeah, for Jacob Trouba. So you know
and
what?
Brandon Lemieux. And
yeah, so we got Trouba and Lemieux essentially for nothing. So either way, it's a win-win. Trust me. I think Pionk's going to be a decent defenseman. I would compare him to Ryan Graves, honestly. Ryan Graves, a lot of people are like, oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. If you look at his defensive liability, he's not that great defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He puts up points, but he's not a defenseman, really. He's kind of like an offensive defenseman that doesn't know how to play defense, essentially.
Since we're already on the topic of defensemen and notable trades, who's next on that list of notable trades this year between the Rangers and Carolina?
Adam Fox for 2 second-round picks.
Adam Fox has 42 points in his first season.
I mean, that trade, I think it's a clear winner. I don't care what Carolina gets out of those 2 second-round picks.
And this isn't even big on Carolina. They were
made for a while.
Carolina was pushed here to make that trade. It's not like they had him for a long time.
Well, let's not try to lie here. Fox forced his way into New York.
Exactly.
He was on the Flames. He forced his way into a trade.
Yep.
Went to the Hurricanes. Said, I'm not signing with you guys either. I'll only sign with this team and this team and this team. They only had 2-3 trade partners. They had to make it work. So,
and that's
the
best thing about this trade is that Fox wanted to be a Ranger.
You
want to have guys here that want to be in New York.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the best part about being in the Rangers organization. You get players like Hayes, Vesey, Fox. You get a lot of players like that who, from day one, they have their mindset of being a Ranger.
Right. Right. Third and final notable trade that we have here is obviously Gauthier for Keane. And just the easiest thing to go off of here is Gauthier has played NHL games with the Rangers. He's got 2 assists in as many games. And Keane, who hasn't got to play for the Carolina Hurricanes and hasn't even made their taxi squad for the play-in round, Keane's got 0 points. So Gauthier is clearly playing on the third or fourth line. Typically on the fourth line, that's how he's been playing in practice. He can move up though. You know, I mean, we've seen him move up, just like other players that the Rangers have used. But just off that little tidbit of info, like Gauthier's proving to be a good trade for the Rangers. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, Keane killed it in the minors. Absolutely killed it. I think he has the same.
Could he turn out to be the next like Neil Pionk and Ryan Graves?
That's what I feel like. He has the same ceiling as probably like a Pionk. Like he'll be like a bottom pair defenseman.
But does he come up in the NHL like Ryan Graves and Pionk do that?
The NHL extended their rosters by like another 6, 7, 8 players, and he still didn't make Carolina's squad. So I think that says a lot about him. Like, not about him, but like about what they see in him.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that they had all these extra players to add and they still couldn't add him, nothing against him. I hope he does. I hope he has a great career. But the fact that they saw him play, saw the stats he put up in the NHL, they still decided not to put him in. So a lot about him. But Gauthier, I compare him a lot to.
They didn't even bring him into training camp.
I know.
They didn't even bring him into the camp.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though. This is a lot about the kind of player he is. Obviously, they don't see much of him either. But Gauthier, I think he does have a lot of upside. He definitely has to learn a lot. He's definitely still young enough to where he can improve. But he reminds me of almost like Kreider when he first came in. Yeah, he's a power forward. He's a big body. He can drive to the net. He can deflect. He can do a little bit of everything.
You can see him. He just wants to learn. He just wants to compete. And
one of the players took him under. One of the players took Gauthier under his wing is Kreider. So, right. You know what? Maybe Kreider saw a little bit of himself.
Even Gauthier, I think, right when he got traded to the Rangers, compared himself to Chris Kreider.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Even Kreider took him under his wing. So, honestly, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, what are some things that Brady Shea can do to help Carolina battle against us?
I mean, obviously, he grew up in their system. I mean, he's been with Coach Quinn for about a year and a half. So, obviously, he knows Quinn's system somewhat. Maybe it'll change a little bit now with Ruff out of the pitcher.
And he was with us when we beat Carolina 4-0, so he knows
how
we're going to play against them.
Yeah, he knows the ins and outs. But also, you never know, though. Like, as much as you pay attention to the player, it's hard to actually sit there and talk me, oh yeah, they did this, they ran this scheme, they ran that scheme. Because also on the other side, Quinn and the Rangers might be like, you know what? Shea knows what we're going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I don't care what anybody says. There's no way Shea's going to stop Panarin and Zibanejad. There's absolutely no way.
Right. So
unless he's playing bottom 6 minutes, which he won't even play against them. He'll be playing against like Giuseppe, Hedl. He'll be playing against players like that.
So overall, will Brady Shea help the Carolina Hurricanes beat us or hurt the Carolina Hurricanes?
I think if it came down to it, I think he would help because his role is a lot less. He's not a top two defenseman. On the Rangers, he was a top two, top four defenseman.
So you don't think that he's going to choke with Carolina? You don't think that this is good for the Rangers that they have Shea now in the defense and that we know how he plays?
We obviously know how he plays, but he was playing against the top lines a lot of times, top two lines every time. He's not going to be doing that to Carolina.
Right.
I trust me. I hope he plays like absolute garbage, but as a Ranger fan, trust me, I hope he shits the bed. But if he's playing on the third line, which honestly, with Carolina's defenseman, he probably will be. If he's playing on second, third line, he's not going to be playing against Zibanejad. He's not going to be playing against Panarin. He's going to be playing against Giuseppe,
right?
Like Hedl, Howden.
And that's going to be interesting to see who they put him up against on our team. You know what I mean? Well, do they play him against those guys, or do they play him against the bottom third?
It's like the McDonough trade, whatever, 2 years ago. I remember this year, the Mew dropped the gloves against McDonough, and I didn't know how to feel.
I know.
I had no idea how to feel. The Mew dropped the gloves, started fighting McDonough, and I was like, oh, God.
I mean, that fight was unwarranted. Lemieux was just trying to get
just trying to get everybody jumped up. But still, I remember I sat there watching the fight, and I was
we didn't know how to feel.
Yeah, I was like, I love McDonough, but I also love Lemieux now. I was like, I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, because, I mean, Lemieux is the next Avery, and obviously, you know, I mean, we'll hopefully he turns into an Avery-like player. I mean, you know.
Well, Avery is a douche, but he put up points, so yeah.
Right, so we'll see if Lemieux doesn't put up that much. Lemieux regressed this year. I mean, he had a great start to the year, but with that late hit, it doesn't help his case. And, you know.
He's young. A lot of people forget he's like 24. He has to grow up a little bit. He'll get his stuff together. He has to learn.
All right, guys. Changing up a bit. Now we're just we're going to go over some player stats and which players we think are going to help each team, you know, compete and why we think those players are going to be the big game changers on each team. Greg, you can start it off.
I mean, easiest by far, obviously, Panarin. 95 points in 65 games. Imagine this guy actually played the full season. This guy would have had 115 points easily. Zibanejad, too, 75 points in 57 games. If he didn't get hurt, he would have had over 100 points, too.
Mm-hmm. And just while we're on Zibanejad, can Mika just pick up where he left off before the break? Is he going to come back and just completely just dominate and just, you know, dazzle us?
I mean, I would hope to God so, but it's going to be hard for everybody. I don't care if you're McDavid. You sit down for 3 months, do nothing. It's tough to get back into it. It's not easy.
Right.
Buchnevich was playing some of his best hockey of his career. I think he had like 12 points in like six, seven games.
Right at the end there.
He was on fire. Playing some of the best hockey of his career, and then all of a sudden you stop, do nothing for 3 months. It's not easy to pick it back up and continue where you left off.
So what about our Artemi Panarin and Ryan Strome? Will they before the break, their chemistry for the first half of the year was completely unreal. Do they regain that chemistry and just, like, you know, pick up where they left off?
I think they're going to always play well together. I don't know why. Obviously, nothing against Strome. Strome's probably going to have a solid NHL career no matter where he is, but he's never been like this great until Panarin. But it's also nothing against Strome either. Strome is obviously a product of Panarin. Panarin's also a product of Strome, so you can't really down either or. Like, obviously, Panarin's having a career year also playing with Strome and fast, so you can't really down either of them.
I mean, quickly diving into something we may talk about on the next episode, which is, you know, what we predict the Rangers will do in the offseason. I think Ryan Strome ends up being I think they end up signing him to, I mean, we'll see what he takes, but I think during all this, he'll take a team-friendly deal and something that works out to him in the end. But I think that he'll be on the team for a few more years with Artemi Panarin on, you know, one of those lines. Is it going to be with Panarin? Who knows? But I think he'll end up on the team a couple more years. But
I would hope Strom stays with us. Obviously, a team-friendly deal. We all, I don't care what fan you are, you always want a team-friendly deal. At the same time, like, I remember Michael Grabner on the Rangers. We all thought he was going to re-sign with us. Scored 20 goals plus two seasons with us. Same time, though, you get greedy. Well, yeah, but we also thought he was going to sign with us in the offseason.
I don't because, think they really pursued that, though.
But Grabner was a fit for the Rangers. I think Strom's kind of the same scenario. Not player that wasn't really in a good situation, went to the Rangers and thrived. Right. So, and now, obviously, Grabner signed, whatever, I think a $3 million deal for 2 years in Arizona, and now he's on the fourth line doing nothing.
But yeah, no, yeah. Regardless, I mean, yeah. I mean, but
it depends, it depends on the person, too, though. If Strom likes New York, he likes playing Panarin, he likes the atmosphere, maybe he takes a team-friendly deal.
Especially with the Rangers
also, yeah, but the Rangers also aren't going to be throwing money at him.
No, 100%. Yeah, I don't think...
If it's at that point,
I don't think they're going to be throwing money, but we'll... You know,
and I want Strom to say,
it depends what happens with D'Angelo and if we re-sign fast and what happens with the goalie situation, which we'll get to later.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't realize either. Gorgiev's going to be a RFA at the end of the season.
Right. Yeah.
Which, trust me, I know he's probably the third string goalie at this point, but he can ask for $2-4 million at this point. He's a borderline starting goalie.
I think he can ask for 2 months.
Sorokin on the Islanders hasn't played a single NHL game and he's got $2 million extension.
But he's also 10,000 times better than Georgiev.
And when he hasn't played a single NHL game, though. How can you even say that? Georgiev can be miles better. Georgiev's younger than him. Georgiev's 23.
Right.
My point is, though, like, what if Georgiev demands $5 million a year? Which, trust me, I don't think he would. But you don't know. So maybe a team offersheets him. Maybe the Rangers are forced to trade him because the team offersheets him for really low. All right.
Moving on to the next player.
All right. So the next Ranger player I can see making a huge impact is honestly Kaapo Kakko. He's looked amazing in training camp. And I think it's great for him that he's had a few months to like actually sit home, reflect on his thoughts.
Without a doubt. He had 2 goals in the last training camp.
That's the next player is going to get to who also had 2 goals. Julian Gauthier from Carolina. He had 2 goals.
Right. Yep.
Obviously, Buchnevich is absent for those few games. God knows for what.
Thank God he's back now. He's back now.
But yeah, honestly, like Kakko, Gauthier, even like a not a rookie necessarily, but a player like Giuseppe, like he's like 25, 26. He can do some damage. He's a little bit older, a little more experienced. You also have a player like Hedl, can do a ton of damage. I mean, biggest question mark going to the playoffs is obviously rookie goalie, Igor Shesterkin.
Yep.
Hopefully, if he starts, I mean, hopefully he does amazing. But, I mean, it's another.
Right. So, just adding on to that, some players that I think are going to make the difference for Carolina that we certainly don't want to face in this matchup is number one, Sebastian Aho, who had 38 goals and 28 assists. Teravainen, who had 14 goals and 48 assists. Svechnikov, 24 goals, 37 assists. And newest addition to the Carolina Hurricanes, Vincent Trocheck, who, I mean, you know, obviously it was a down year for Trocheck with 11 goals and 27 assists, which is not a bad number, really. But he'll definitely add some different experience to the team that they didn't have before, and that's going to be challenging to the Rangers. You know, with the addition of Brady Shea to their defense, you're looking at Slavin, Gardner, Shea, Vatanen, Edmondson, and Fleury. You know, a few of those names could change out, but that's what their defense looks like, and it's not, you know, it's not too frightening. It's you got a few players on that defense that could make a difference, right? But
no, absolutely.
Next thing for Carolina is their goalie situation. I mean, they got a lot of help from the pandemic with their goalie situation. The fact that both goalies weren't healthy that last week in the NHL, and they were both question marks for when they were going to return. But when you have Mrazek and Reimer, I mean, both healthy goalies right now, that, you know, they're coming in with a little bit of an advantage. Although the Rangers also had Chris Kreider, who was on the injured list, and, you know, he was able to recover from this. You have players like Hedl, who got hurt in the last few games, who were able to recover from this. Shesterkin, who got into the car accident and I guess fractured his rib, he was able to really heal from this.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think is starting goalie for both teams? You had to choose, honestly.
Right. So, I mean, for Carolina, I think it's going to be Mrazek, obviously, with Reimer backing up because he's healthy. For the Rangers, it's a little bit different. You know, you got Henrik Lundqvist, who this season alone was 3-0 against Carolina. In the last 46 games, Lundqvist was 33-12-1. So that, wow, you know, that definitely plays a factor in it. I mean, Igor Shesterkin, who obviously is the rising rookie on this team, was 1-0 in that fourth game against Carolina, in which we swept. And I mean, he was 10-2, you know, against the rest of the league. So, and apparently in camp, he's the clear number one right now. So, yeah. I mean, Georgiev, last time he faced Carolina, let up 7 goals. But I mean, the real question here is does that success at the Rangers, and, you know, more importantly, Henrik Lundqvist have against Carolina, does that play into a factor here, really?
I don't think so. I think it's about who's the best goalie in coming in the training camp. It could be Georgiev, for God knows. I don't think he's going to be, obviously, the number one in training camp, but I think that's what matters. It doesn't matter what happened beforehand. It matters about training camp. If Lundqvist is the number one in training camp, which I don't think he's going to be, I think it's still going to be Shesterkin. I could see it Shesterkin versus Mrazek.
Game right, on. And more importantly, because of that, the reason that, you know, Shesterkin is looking to start, and the reason that we don't think that plays a factor is because of the pandemic, and because both teams now have a fresh start to, you know, come in hot, everybody healthy. It's a new thing. Everybody always says the playoffs is a new season. This is a completely different, completely new season with 4 or 5 months rest.
Everybody's rested. Chris Kreider, we go in the playoffs, game one, he wouldn't be ready. Now, 3 month layover, he's ready. But then you look at a team like the Blues, Stanley Cup defending champion. They didn't have Tarasenko. All of a sudden, Tarasenko's healthy, ready to go.
Right.
So, you don't know. It's completely different. The Penguins, Jake Gensel's back. It's everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready.
Every
to go.
Team's got those players that were injured. They're all back.
So, if anything, it's more fair than ever because every team's 100% ready to go. It's not like going into the playoffs where half your team's dealing with injuries, like lower body injuries, nagging injuries. Everybody's healthy, rested.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, it's.
That's when it can do a huge effect, though. That's how you. Honestly, you don't know. An older team like Boston, where, like, they have Tukaras, it's plus 35. Chara's, like, 65. Now, but Chara's really old. Bergeron's getting older. Marchand. They have a lot of older players. I mean, sitting home for 3-4 months, they might not be able to get their legs as quick as a team with the Rangers, where they have Hedl, Kako, Gauthier, Fox. They have a lot of younger players who they get on the ice, and they feel just as good as they did 3 months ago.
Yep. And
that could be a huge advantage also.
I mean, many people, you know, many fans are asking that one question is will this championship have an asterisk next to it? And, I mean, I think that the main answer here is if you look at Gerrit Cole from the New York Yankees, right? It's going to be a COVID championship, right?
There's only going to be
one COVID championship, and you want to be the team that wins that championship. And nonetheless, you have to compete in not only a normal 16 game Stanley Cup,
but even
you have longer, to compete more. You have to do a best of five series against a team that you may have not expected to face. And not only that, they're eliminating that the playoff standing rule where each round you just automatically face the, you know, whoever was
reseeding
each round. So you're no longer facing somebody you thought you were going to face. Now it's up in the air. The Rangers are going to be facing the number one team each round.
If they
get past that.
No, 100%. It's way more hard. It's way harder to advance to the finals and actually win it. But at the same time, there's also going to be an asterisk. Like, God forbid, I hope to God he actually makes the playoffs. Crosby, let's say he's in the Stanley Cup final, can't make it the last 2-3 games because of issues that can't be commented on. We all know what that means. And let's say Pittsburgh loses. There's an asterisk on that because they lost their best player. Crosby could have played those last 2-3 games. You never know what could have happened. And that could be the same for any team possible. It could be Zibanejad, Panarin for the Rangers. It could be Tarasenko or Riley for the Blues. It can literally be anybody. And I hope to God that doesn't happen, but at the same time, it's bound to happen. Right. A game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs where a main player can't make it, like a top 10 player in the league, and then all hell's going to break loose. It's almost bound to happen.
Right. Well, listen, there's only a few more days until players and teams and coaches make the trip to the bubble. I think it's 2 days before they make that trip to the bubble. And NHL released information the other day where there was only, I think, 2 or 3 positive tests in 500, you know, overall tests, mm-hmm. which means as long as every player, you know, these last couple of days have been staying out of, you know, the overall world and just stays in that bubble and follows the guidelines.
That's the biggest problem, though. It takes one player to screw up something, and then that's it.
Completely agree.
That's it.
Well, that's going to conclude today's episode, and we look forward to hearing from you guys in the comments, and also just, you know, let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know if you want to be on the podcast.
Yeah, give us some feedback, whether it's bad or good.
All right.
Just more towards blue and blue shirts, not me.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening.